This program is paid for by Investor Schooling. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Investor Schooling or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey.
WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. This is Investor Schooling Live with your host, Larry Steinhaus, CEO of Investor Schooling.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Larry Steinhaus. And guess what? We are not in our offices. We are not in our regular studio. We are actually in the studio in WPHT because we were doing a seminar in Philadelphia. And we left the seminar just to come here because it was only 10 minutes away. And our studio is obviously an hour away. So we're actually in the actual office or the actual PhD studios today. And of course, Omri couldn't make it because it's too far for him. But Dr. Deb is here, right?
Hi, everybody. I'm here. I think Omri couldn't make it because he's got other stuff going on.
Yeah, well, you know, but...
I'm just saying, you know.
He's just not dedicated.
So the problem we have is that nobody's going to be able to say the sexy phone number because...
Wait, we actually have somebody to say the sexy phone number.
Oh, it's going to be Glenn.
I have it planned.
Okay.
I have it planned.
All right.
Wait, so you guys know, we can talk about anything. We can talk about real estate. We can talk about the stock market. We can talk about politics. We can talk about... I don't know, the House voting on Israel and Ukraine, if you want to. I don't really care.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe not.
You don't want to talk about that?
Not really. I'm not, like, much into politics the way you are.
I'm not that into politics either.
You seem to be pretty into politics.
Well, so last week, you know where I was, though, right? You know why we didn't do the show last week? So last week, we didn't do the show. Last week, we had a repeat, if you guys didn't listen to it. We did a repeat because I was hanging out with my buddy.
Oh, Trump.
That's right. I was hanging out with my buddy, my buddy Trump. I was at a private fundraiser. For Trump, and I was having a blast.
Yeah. So you don't invite us, like the little people, to come with you.
You're invited. you didn't pony up.
I did not pony up. I figure I could put my money in better places.
Yeah, which part
elsewhere.
Of private fundraiser did you not understand?
Well, you know, I think that my money could be better served in other areas, especially right now with
so
all my stuff.
I agree and disagree. Let's talk about money for a minute, because we did this whole thing, this whole motivational thing on Thursday night.
Which I have to say, I just want to throw it out there. That is one of the best classes that you did in a really long time.
Really?
Yeah, like you know what I mean. But it was a really good class. It was really engaging. You were having a lot. You could tell that you were having a lot of fun up on stage, up on the thing, and all the students and even the non-students were just like, "Wow, this is pretty cool." Even though they expected to come in for like X, Y, and Z, it was a really good class.
Well, thank
you.
I appreciate
that. It was a really good class.
And you guys know that you can come to class anytime, and you could get a really good class. Sometimes they're good, and sometimes they're great. They're never bad, right?
No, they're never bad.
They're never bad. That's the truth. They're never bad. But you know what? So we should tell people how they can get to class. How can they get to class? Investorschooling.com.
Investorschooling.com.
You should have seen Deb's face. She was like,
wait, am I supposed
know.
To say
how
something?
How do I do this?
Investorschooling.com.
Investorschooling.com. Really, is it that difficult?
No, I'm not. Usually, Omri's here to like pick that key up.
I know. I can only talk to you today.
I know.
You know what's great about this? You'll actually be able to talk today.
I can. You know, I was thinking, because before Omri was on the show all the time, it used to just be me and you for a while.
Right.
And then Omri came in, and I'm just like, oh, okay. And it was a whole different dynamic.
I know.
So, you know, now
you
it's
know, if the show goes really well, you know what we're going to do?
Kick Omri out.
Kick Omri off. Absolutely. So check this out. So the other day, I get my, you know, I'm coming back from class, and it's like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, okay. And I get a text message from our wonderful producer, Glenn Page.
Yep.
And the text message is him actually recording, pretending to be Omri with the phone number.
We should play that. I think that would be
I don't even think I want to play it. I want Glenn to do the phone number.
Oh, Glenn.
So go ahead, Glenn. See if you
Glenn
can do it.
The sexy number.
Do you know our phone number?
Last four digits.
Do you know our phone number?
I need to know what the last four digits are.
1137 are the last four.
855-939-1137.
Am I supposed to do it sexy?
Yeah,
sexy.
Do it sexy.
Just like Omri does. Omri does the sexy.
855-939-1137.
No, it doesn't have the same like tone.
It's not as deep.
It's not as deep. Like Omri
but,
does
you know,
have
I,
de- a deep
I definitely
voice.
Felt. I definitely felt the fizz.
He's got a low bar. He's got a low bar for fizz.
Do it again, Glenn.
I was a little nervous.
Don't be so nervous. Man. I know it's your first time, especially with an older man.
855-939-1137.
There you go, Glenn. He's getting there. There's something about that, like, a guy's deep voice that really resonates.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
855.
Yeah, I don't have a deep voice.
How do I do a deep voice? 855.
There you go.
939. 11:37.
There you go.
See,
that's
now
better.
Me as a guy, I don't like hearing bassy deep voices. I like women's voices.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, I when I listen to the radio and those guys have the really booming. I know a lot of people like that. The DJ.
Yeah.
I always hated that growing up.
Me, I love that.
Okay. Yeah.
I like the Howard Stern voice. I like the guy across the street.
Howard Stern.
Bill Spady has a great voice.
Oh, okay.
He's a natural.
Bill Spady's a natural. Yeah.
He's a natural.
He has a great voice.
Yeah, he's a natural.
Good friend of mine, too. Yeah.
I used to date this guy in college, and he would whisper, and you could hear him across the room. You couldn't hear what he was saying, but you could hear that he was talking, because he had such this boom, and oh, God, it was such a great voice. He had a great voice.
Yeah. So anyway.
Nice deep voice. Anyway, moving on.
If you guys want to call about anything that has to do with real estate, anything that has to do with the stock market, anything that has to do with money.
No more deep voices. That's it. That's over.
Because every once in a while, when we do the show, when we do a repeat of the show like we did last year, last week, I get calls because, you know, the phone, I don't know if you guys know this, but if you call me and this is a repeat and you're calling right now, this is what happens to be live. Or is it?
We are live today.
Yeah, but how do you know it's today?
Today is April 20th.
Okay, so if you call today, you know it's live.
It's April 20th.
And if you call, it goes directly to the radio station, which is great. Wait, Glenn just answered the phone and he started laughing so hard. I almost bet I know him. If it's Omri, tell him he can't.
Is
no,
it Omri?
If it's Omri, tell him. No, I knew it. I just knew it by your smile. All right, go ahead, put him on. Let's go.
Bring Omri on.
Did you know the phone number, Omri, when you called?
Actually, I forgot what the phone number.
It's so good to hear you, Omri.
I didn't know the number. I was so, yeah. So, one second. I understand. So one day I'm not in the show, and immediately you are talking about kicking me out.
Yeah. Well,
remember, it used to be me and Larry before you. Don't forget that.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's so much more fun with you, Omri. We would hate
to kick
you off.
Now it's not boring. Glenn, I request a meeting with the management.
It was boring before. Is that what you're trying to say? Seriously?
Hey, Glenn, can you do the phone number again?
I think we need to drop this caller. I think he's impersonating.
So it was so funny because, you know, I normally can't see Glenn because, you know, we're in our studio and we got him on air. But as soon as he picked up the phone, he put this big smile on his face. I knew it had to be Omri. I mean, I knew it couldn't have been just a regular caller, which was really funny.
Omri makes me smile too.
So Omri, we were talking about Thursday night's class and how I was talking about motivation. So I was thinking about doing a contest right now about the reason that I give that people don't have $1 million. What do you think of that?
So first of all, I want to tell you the Thursday class that we had 2 days ago was one of the best Thursday class we ever
had. Debbie just said the same thing.
I just said that. Yeah. I just said that. It really was.
I know.
Really
I heard. It's one of the best one we had because you could see the light bulb moments in the people, especially the new people in the class. Because everybody was so determined that first, I need $1 million. And after that, I will figure out what I'm going to do with the money.
Right.
And it took me a while to figure out how wrong I am with that.
Most people are.
Because every time I reach what I believed is the peak, I figure out it's not the peak, and I'm so bored there in what I imagine is the peak, and I need to find something else. Regardless to how much it costs, regardless to how much time it will take me, it was all about the goal and the achievement.
So, so it's interesting because most people think that $1 million is a lot of money, and it might be. It really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's a lot of money or a little bit of money. It's what you want to do with the money is the issue. And once you figure out what you want to do with money, you're going to get it. And that's the weird part. And it's funny because, like, I'll ask people all the time, hey, you know, if I gave you $1 million, what would you do with it? Like, they would go, oh, I'll find something to do with it. And I go, that's the number one reason you don't have $1 million. Yeah. It's because you can't tell me what you would do with it. But we would just,
I know. Or they say about the car that costs maybe a tenth of $1 million, and then okay, what will you do with the rest? I don't know.
Yeah, or even that, you know, what car they want. They're like, oh, I want a fancy car. Well, which one? What's the model number? What's the make?
Yeah.
What color is it? You know, what kind of car is it? And when you identify that, it actually happens. You know, I talked about, so it's really like manifesting your destiny. And the reality is, every single person listening to this right now, you can manifest your destiny. I know you don't believe me. You've heard this, I think I can say crap on the radio before, so you could, or other places, but it's the truth. The truth is, you can manifest anything you want. It may not happen tomorrow, but it's going to happen. You know, one of the stories I tell is that I always wanted to get a letter from a president. It was, you know, since I was a kid, I just thought it'd be so cool to have a letter from a president. And Donald Trump actually wrote me a thank you letter for a gift I sent him, which is really cool. It's just, and it's, and it actually hangs in the office if everyone ever want to come by and see it. It's just neat to have it. It's just a different, it's just something different that I wanted. You know, will it be worth, he also signed my jacket too. So I have like the American flag jacket. So I have it in a picture box with the American flag jacket that he signed with the letter that he wrote and the date that he signed it. So I figured that one day, I mean, you ever watch that show Pawn Stars?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so Pawn Stars would be a really cool, I mean, imagine them bringing in something from Hoover, you know what I mean? Yeah. That was like this. You know how much that would be worth?
All right. So I mean, you got to hold on to it for another 50 years?
Yeah, I mean, so, but I don't care about what it's going to be worth. I care about what it's worth to me right now.
No, I get that.
Now, my kids, you know, my kids are all Democrats, and they'll probably burn it.
What was the name of the show?
Pawn Stars.
Pawn Stars. It's a pawn shop.
Not the word you're thinking.
It's a pawn shop out in Vegas, yeah. I think. Yeah.
We're going to go here again?
Okay.
It would be more fun. I don't know.
Exactly.
There's something I don't know.
Yeah, what? Exactly.
No, that's Omri's default setting.
Yeah, you got here, exactly.
You get anywhere near that vicinity.
It's completely not my default setting. I guess you have some problem on the line. Glenn, you need to fix it.
So I do have a problem on the line. You're right, Omri. Let me just handle that right now.
All right. So if anybody wants to call in, the phone number is
855-939-1137.
Right, and that's the phone number you dialed too, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Well, it obviously got you through, and I'm pretty sure we could get another caller on the line. See, the problem is when you dial that number, I don't know how many calls. I think we could have two or three callers on.
No, we had more calls.
Yeah, that's
in the
true.
Past.
We did. Yeah, yeah. We had.
Well, we did.
Here's what
we did.
I want to know, Larry. So if they call, what are we going to be talking about? What
I don't even know. We kind of like went off. I actually wanted to say, like, I kind of gave it up accidentally, but let's see if anybody was listening. Okay.
Yeah.
So what's the number one reason that you don't have $1 million? If you call in right now and you get the answer that I usually give, the number one reason that you don't have $1 million, I will send you a copy of my book, Money Hacks, signed.
Okay.
And that book will actually get into my money mindset. The actual first chapter is all about money mindset.
Yeah.
So it will help you change your money mindset. And most people's money mindset, most people don't believe they don't deserve the money that they want. Or a lot of people think that money is evil. Or you ever hear the expression, you know, money is the root of all evil?
Money is the root of all evil.
Yeah, that's not even what the Bible says, by the way. You know, they leave out parts of it.
Oh, well, you know, everybody kind of caters it to what works for them, right?
Right, exactly. So
isn't that what religion's all about? You use what works for you and you get rid of the rest?
Yeah, and then they got people, you know, like, you know, the rich are greedy and whatever. So if you say those things, guess what? You will never be
rich.
You'll never be rich. You can't. Why would you want to be like the people you don't like? So you'll never be rich.
The rich are greedy. I've never heard that. The rich are greedy.
You never heard that?
You want to know who's greedy? The poor.
No.
The poor are greedy, not the rich.
That's exactly.
You got the right money mindset.
It come from such a victim era, victim place.
Yeah.
Right. You know why? You know why the poor are greedy and the rich aren't?
Okay. Why?
Because the poor want other people's money. I want to earn my own money.
Agreed.
So if you're poor and you're getting other people's money, that could be considered greedy. Now, honestly, I mean, there's always times where people do need help. By the way, I have to tell you something. So we're going off on a tangent here, but I'm really, really excited about this one. So you know about the charity I started. The charity I started is called Lev27.
Yep.
And if you guys want to check it out, lev27.org, lev27.org. And we started this charity about a year ago, and we started raising funds. And what this charity does is it's for people who have a sudden and unexpected problem and can't pay their rent. You know, so a lot of people out there live paycheck to paycheck, and then something happens suddenly. So we actually have helped or just about to help our very first person, and it felt really, really good to help them.
Well, that's great.
And it was a situation where, you know, something happened to the wife, and it was sudden and unexpected. He couldn't go to work because he was taking care of her for a little while, and his hours got cut back because of it, and he was behind about a month and a half in his rent.
Okay.
And he reached out to us. He filled out the paperwork, and everything is great. He can continue to pay his rent after we pay, after we covered for him. The landlord was pretty acceptable to it, and we're good. So we're about to send him a check. Actually, we send the landlord a check. We don't send him the check directly. So I'm actually very excited that we actually helped our first person. And it's really, you can hear the gratefulness. You can hear the gratefulness on the phone. It was really, really nice.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
So if you guys, if anybody wants to make a donation, we totally appreciate it. It's lev27.org. Lev27.org. So it's really exciting that we actually help somebody.
And the other thing you should mention, too, is that 100% of all the donations go.
Oh, yeah, it goes to charity.
Times,
yeah, yeah.
A lot of charities, you know, they take, like, March of Dimes, they only
10%. Well, they have a staff and they have fundraising.
Yeah, but here, 100% of the donation goes, which is, I think, really important to mention.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I actually put a lot of money in for fees of my own money.
Yeah.
Like, to get it set up for a 503B. So, is that right?
I don't know.
I said that wrong. I think I got that wrong.
I thought you know all your stuff.
I do, but I'm telling you,
because you're on the spot.
When I get old, the numbers start to change. Like the, you know, the codes, the IRS code numbers.
Oh.
I get them jumbled in my head.
Hmm. So you get them jumbled in your head because you're saying that you're going to get them jumbled.
You're
in
absolutely
your head.
Right. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And that's just what we just talked about.
Yeah.
So anyway, go ahead, Armour. You were saying something?
Yeah, so you said that you have in your office the letter from Trump. Of course, we all see it every day.
Right.
Debbie has a presentation that she talks about what she put in her office on her wall.
So in my office, so I have in my house, like I turned one of the bedrooms into my office, like the smallest bedroom, and my whole wall is all affirmations. So like, went to like the dollar store. You know how like the teachers get when you're teaching kids how to write. You know, like, or how to do script or how to do print or whatever. But I got those little rectangle pieces of paper and I got a marker and I put all kinds of gratitude. You know, my whole wall is all affirmations on the wall. So whenever I know that, you know, you and I had talked about it. When you're feeling down, you look at your spreadsheet of all your properties to make you feel better, right? So when I am having issues, I'll stand in my office and I'll read all the affirmations in my wall.
That's awesome.
To help me kind of move past whatever funk I'm in.
That's awesome. Yeah, everybody needs that because, you know, no matter who you are and no matter where you are, you always feel like you should have been further along, right? Yeah. Like I look at myself like, oh man, I should have owned this and this and this and this and this and this. A lot of times I even say there are properties I said no to. And it's funny, some of those properties I said no to, oh man, do I wish I said yes to.
Yeah.
And there are times where, you know, many, many years ago, things changed. But again, it's you have to realize that you're doing great.
Yeah.
And I know, Debbie, you get yourself down in that property that you have.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is almost done. I'm so excited.
I know. I can't wait. But, you know, and I'm trying to, like I said, the real estate agent, she's like, hey, if you want to sell it. And I'm like, not after everything I've been through.
Oh, the real estate agent? So you're listening to the real estate, right?
I didn't list it. He called me up last night.
Right.
And we were out having a couple beers. And he called me up. And he's like, I saw what you did to the property. He's like, it looks great. I'm really impressed. Everything looks really good. He's like, if you want to sell it, I could sell it. You know, we could list it for 500 plus. And I'm like, after everything I've been through with that property, I said I am not selling it. And then,
wait to tell him that you put more than $500 into it last week. Just last week.
Shut up. When he said that, when he said that number at $500, I'm like, oh, that's what I wanted to hear. But whatever. But he also was just looking.
They will change their mind immediately. Yeah. What? After they will know how much you get in rent, everything would be different.
Well, yeah, she's not selling it anyway.
Yeah, I'm not selling it anyway.
If she sells it now, I'm going to be really mad at her.
No, I can't.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, my God. After everything, I can't. There's no way I'm going to sell that property.
Right.
But I knew that if I sold it,
I think the contractor will be pissed at you.
No, he wouldn't care. I don't think
he would. No, he don't care. He got paid. He got paid a lot of money. He did his job.
Yeah, he wouldn't care.
So the cool part is about that property.
I want to tell you.
Yeah, go ahead, Armory. Go ahead. Interrupt us again.
Yeah, I need to interrupt you so people will feel like I'm in house.
Yeah, exactly.
So I tell you what I put on my on my wall.
What do you have on your wall?
Me and you, Larry, last time we were in Florida, at one of the visits in one of the rooms we stayed, we saw a picture.
You guys were sharing a room?
Be careful where you go
with
this,
man. Wait a minute, you guys were sharing a room?
No. You see,
it's a whole other
Glenn,
side of you guys. I didn't know anything about.
Do you still want to blame me? Do you still want to blame me, Glenn?
Glenn's eating potato chips.
Okay, good for him.
Yeah, there's a big sign in the control room. It says no eating, no drinking, and there's a big picture of Trump looking at him, going, "What are you doing?" So it's, you know, so
and,
Glenn is
and,
just.
And you just said it online.
So Glenn is just, you know, yeah, I mean, look, wait. Who, you know, let me make this really clear. No one from Odyssey cares what we say on this show. You know how I know?
Because nobody listens?
Because nobody from Odyssey listens. So we could even say that you know, that Glenn has a woman in there right now. Let's make up the whole story. Okay, here we go.
It's theater of the mind, folks. Okay, Glenn has Sage, my girlfriend. It's theater of the mind. Yeah, he's joking.
Well, I'm gonna use Sage so you don't get in trouble. So Sage is in there with Glenn right now, and every once in a while the shades go down, and all we hear is like moaning and groaning noises.
Oh, Lord.
And that, too.
And eating potato chips.
Yeah, we hear our Lord, too, a lot.
So what's worse, the cheese there or that you're eating potato chips?
So go ahead. So tell us about the picture of you and I, because the audience right now is going, what is this show?
It's not a picture of you and I. Oh. Come on.
It's when you guys were sharing respect, a room, I guess, in the same bed is what you were talking about.
What?
So in one of the units, the unit that we stayed in, there is a picture of the plan that the previous owner had for what to do with this mobile home site.
Oh, okay.
And this is
beautiful
amazing.
Resort.
Really?
So she had a beautiful resort driven, right? It's a beautiful. Yes. It's a drawing of beautiful resort of all the all the mobile homes are gone. And it's a beautiful resort overlooking the water.
Okay.
And he has a picture of it because that's his dream. What he wants to do with this mobile home park that we own.
That he sold to you.
No. The owner. No. Omri wants to do what the original owner designed. Right.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure that I want to do that, but it inspires me.
Okay.
It pushed me to something that can be achieved. That now I have this thing and I can do this thing on this thing and... It's like it pushes you, it shows you what you can do. And that's very motivating for me.
Cool. Yeah. So I'm looking at, so we're in the studio now, right? You know, this is the studio that Dom Giordano and Rich Zioli use, right? And it's pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. We're sitting in a room with these famous people. But, like in my office, in our studio, we have the sound effects.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they have this whole board of sound effects over here.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what they do, but I think there's one of these that's titled something that I think would make sense for Army right now. Let's try it, see if it works.
That's interesting.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
That's interesting.
That's interesting.
Okay. Okay. I'm thinking maybe that wasn't the right one.
That wasn't the right one?
No, I'm thinking maybe not. But okay.
No, which one?
What do I know?
I don't know.
She's looking for the fart one, I guess.
No, we don't have that here. They don't have the cool ones that I have. You know, they have a bunch of, people talking, you know?
So, Omri, how do you do your goals? Like, because we're talking about, I have my wall of affirmations. Larry has his method when he's feeling down. What do you do? How do you handle that?
For me, it's just a picture.
For you, it's just a picture?
Okay.
For me right now, it's just a picture. I will tell you something. I reached a point, and I actually shared with Larry, that I'm pretty happy with where I am. Yes, I want more. I always want more. We always want more. But I'm working very hard with myself to be happy with where I am at.
So here's a question.
I'm not saying to stop buying properties. I'm not saying not to do it, like to stay in bed all day. I'm saying sometimes we need to say thank you and to be happy with what we achieved.
Yeah. I think that's great. But here's a question for you. Why do you think you want more?
Why? You know what? I will tell you that, okay? If I will stay home one day, I get to the evening and I feel bad. And I feel bad. I feel I haven't done anything today. I haven't looked at any property today. I haven't opened any email today. I haven't tried to rent anything today. And I feel bad. You know what? I have no idea why is that.
Because you feel unproductive.
Maybe I don't have to.
Yeah.
But it still makes me feel bad with myself, like honestly, like a loser. I'm not sure why is that, but it is what it is. I guess it's in a way the soul of an entrepreneur. You always want to go forward.
Exactly. So it's not about the money, which is exactly the answer that I was looking for. It's not about the money. It's about It's about winning the game.
Well, I think it's funny.
And continuously playing because you never actually win.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that he said moving forward. So in my office, I have my wall of affirmations. And you know those license plate signs, you know, that they make words out of license plate, that they cut them up? So I have one and it says believe because I was struggling with that about a year ago. And I put it there and it's right at eye level or when I stand up, it's right there. So I look at it all the time. And I was thinking about getting another one that says forward. You know what I mean? Just forward, because that's right now my biggest thing is I keep looking back and I messed this up, I messed that up, I should have done this, should have done that, and I keep, and I, everybody's telling me to just keep moving forward. So I was thinking about getting a license plate sign that says forward, just to help me, to remind me to keep moving forward. And it's just funny that Omri just happened to use that word.
Debbie, I want to tell you that I believe that, yes, we should look forward, but if we ignore the past and we just keep pushing forward, we will make more mistakes and we won't actually go forward. And I saw that in myself in the past. And I actually remember that, ironically, but I remember that, that sometimes you want to, you just push your leg to the throttle and you go forward, but you don't learn from the past and you don't go anywhere.
Right. So I agree with you, Amir. I think what I had in mind was that to not let what I feel like are my failures, which are just learning lessons, to hold me back so that I don't keep moving forward. I think that's where I was going.
Of course,
just like, yeah, I just need to, all right, you know what? This didn't work out the way I planned. I learned this and that and this from it. And let's take the next step and just keep moving
forward. Yeah, there's no failures.
Yeah, so that's
one of the biggest keys you have to, another thing you have to learn is there's no failures.
Yeah.
There's only lessons.
Yeah.
And if somebody at the seminar this week was actually talking about that, they said if you, sometimes the lesson, you don't see the lesson for a couple of years later, but there's always a lesson. It's not a failure. Don't get upset when you fail. Who cares? What's the worst that's going to happen? As long as you survived it, you know, you're still alive. And no one else got hurt.
So me and my friend, and you met her, she's also a PhD, and I'm just going to throw it out there because she's also a PhD.
Well, you know, you're the smart chicks.
The smart chicks have to hang
because
out together.
Because
you're
all surrounded by smart people.
I'm smart, a handful, you know. Anyway, so her and I came up with the acronym FAIL, right? Because I told him, I think it was after, it was,
fear.
Anyway, finding answers and learning.
Yeah, finding answers and learning. I love it, yeah.
So whenever, you know, I'm talking to somebody downstairs and they say fear, I do feeling excited and ready, which is John Chin's thing. Mm-hmm. I stole it from him when I first started at the school. And then I had that whole failure, like, in Philly a couple of years ago or whatever. And I'm like, and I got on the phone with her and I'm like, help me find an acronym for this. And we came up with finding answers and learning, which
That's
is
right.
exactly what you're saying. So.
All right. So real quick, Omri, give the phone number.
That's 855-939-1137. Again, that's 855-939-1137.
Okay, cool. So I want somebody to call in because, you know, let's talk. There's a couple of things. Phil. What do you do? Hold on, shush, Army.
He's not even here. You can't shut him up.
I mean, really, just shush.
No,
all right?
I was about to say we'll
mute
go
him.
Off the line. If
mute
you
him.
Think maybe
mute
I'm
him.
Catching
mute
the
him. There we go. Thank you. Okay. So this is much better because you can mute him and actually mute him because he's not in the room, which is great. All right. So if you're calling in 855-939-1137, tell us about what you do when you're feeling down and you want to make yourself feel better. Talk about maybe why you know what you think the answer is or why you don't have $1 million. Those are two things. And either one of these things, just call about those two topics. Well, actually, call about anything. I don't care. I'll give you my book anyway.
All right.
So call about anything because this is an interesting show, and it came off our class on Thursday night when we were talking about motivation and money and how people actually can get money.
Yeah.
We had one guy who wanted to run for Congress.
Yeah.
And he talked about the very first thing. He said, I need $7 million to run for Congress.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, you don't need any money to run for Congress.
Yeah.
All you need is the desire to run for Congress and all the things that you need to run for Congress that cost money, the money will come. And it took a little while for him to be convinced, but he actually was convinced. He actually texted me, just so you know, he actually texted me and said, hey, I do a presentation to the local area. I don't want to say what area it was, but a local area that he wants to run for Congress in. And he said, do you think I should tell people to put me in as a write-in candidate? And my answer was absolutely yes. Now, he won't win as a write-in candidate, but if he gets some votes, it would be great for his ego, and it'd be great to help him move forward to running next time.
Yeah.
So everything that you do towards your goal is great. Glenn laughed very hard when I said he won't win as a running. Imagine he does. If he does, that would be hysterical. I mean, I got to tell you that the two candidates running right now, because by the way, this is the Republican primary.
Yeah.
And I hate both candidates. The ones that are running in this, like the one that's there right now. I don't even say who it is right now.
Yeah.
But the one that's there right now, he's so bad. He's an absolute rhino, and the guy running against him is such a weak candidate that I think I actually want the rhino. So it's kind of a bad, you know, that's how bad this, you know, the race right is. So maybe if he stands up and goes, hey, I'm not like either one of these guys, maybe they will vote for him.
I just thought it was funny because you were giving this inspirational, motivational talk and talking about how people can do anything and put their minds to it. And then you're just like, well, he won't win. But
yeah, but what it's doing, and that's actually a really good point, because what he's doing, Glenn, is he's setting himself up for future, you know, for future wins.
Yeah.
So, like, do you know that Trump had ran for president before 2000? I can't remember what year. I can't remember what year it was, but he ran, but nobody even took him seriously. I mean, it's like so not seriously that I don't even think he made it to anything. You know, like, yeah, I remember listening to it on Howard Stern, where he says, yeah, I'm running for president, and it never actually, like, he said it enough times that I remembered it, but that was it. That was his run. But then when he was serious and when he really wanted it, it became reality. So that's why this guy, I'm saying, he needs to, if he's serious, he needs to stand up and say, okay, yeah, I'm serious.
Well, isn't that the famous story of Lincoln? Didn't Lincoln famously fail?
Yeah, I think he failed.
I don't know. Everybody talks about how many times Lincoln failed.
Lincoln,
you know,
failed.
Yeah, and then, you know, then he then he wanted to be an actor and he went to the theater.
Stop it. Stop.
Yeah, let's bring Army back down.
Terrible. Terrible.
Hey, Army, you still there, or did you hang up?
No, you can't get rid of me.
You want to bet? We just did. But hold on. Let's make sure. Hold on, one more time. Before you give the phone number, so you guys call in, and you guys could have a copy of my book, signed copy of my book, Money Hacks. I'm telling you, the book's great, too. You'll really enjoy it. All right, go ahead, Army. Give the phone number.
855-939-1137.
Now it sounds like a game show host, doesn't he?
I know. Yeah, that didn't sound sexy at all. You got to do like the sexy voice.
Yeah, it sounds like a game show host.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. Do the sexy voice.
Yeah, do the game show voice again. I liked it.
I know. I like the sexy voice better.
Okay.
I have to get undressed. 1 second.
What's that? What did he say?
I have no idea.
The sexy voice is only go when I undress.
When you're undressed?
Yeah, keep your clothes on.
You are usually not here, so. Undressed when you're in the studio with us. You know, I would remember if you were.
I think I would remember that too, actually.
Well, I might not survive it, but I would remember it.
You need to remember that I'm the younger here, so maybe I remember and you don't.
Oh, yes. You're not going to believe it. I'm watching the TV, and they have the TV on in the studio, and the congressman I was talking about is literally on the television right now, which is hysterical. See, I manifested that. He's right there. He's on Fox News. And this is the guy who I think is the absolute rhino, and I really don't know what he did, but he's the rhino, and it's hysterical that when I was talking about him, and I look up, and there he is on the TV.
Yeah.
The TV. You know?
All right, go ahead, Omri. Do the sexy voice. He was going to say the number, remember? Until you interrupted him?
Well, he was going to do the number? Oh,
no,
yeah.
I did.
You're supposed to do the number in the game show host name.
Sexy.
All right, do the number, because then we got to go to a commercial.
Sure. 855-939-1137.
There you go.
Yeah, that's better. Okay, we're going to go to commercial. When we come back, if you call in, you get a free copy of our book, or my book, Money Hacks. And I'm telling you, you want this book, and we'll see you on the other side of commercials.
This is Larry Steinitz with Investor Schooling. Do you know when the best time to buy investment properties is? It's now. It's always now. You just need to learn how to buy them correctly. Go to investorschooling.com and sign up for a complimentary class this Thursday night and learn how to buy investment properties and make money every time. That's right. That's what we teach. We teach how to buy investment properties and make money every time. Go to investorschooling.com and RSVP right now. Take a class this Thursday night at 7 o'clock. That's investorschooling.com. This is Larry Steinhaus with Investor Schooling. Are you ready for retirement? Have you prepared everything you need? Well, in Investor Schooling, we will teach you ways to better prepare for your retirement using real estate and the stock market. But you need to learn how to do it right. And that's what we teach. At Investor Schooling, we sell nothing but education. Come to Investor Schooling and learn how to have a better retirement. Go to investorschooling.com and RSVP right now for this Thursday's class at 7 o'clock. Go to investorschooling.com. That's investorschooling.com. This is Larry Steinitz with Investor Schooling. Are you tired of hearing about the recession that's coming? Are you prepared for it? Well, listen, at InvestorSchooling.com, we're going to teach you ways to prepare for the recession that you didn't even know existed. We're going to teach you strategies on how to use real estate. We're going to teach you strategies how to use the stock market properly. That's right. You can even make money in the stock market when the stock market goes down. Hey, go to InvestorSchooling.com and register for a free class this Thursday night, and you will learn all of these techniques. Go to InvestorSchooling.com right now, RSVP for this Thursday. We'll see you there. This is Larry Steinitz with Investor Schooling. Don't go through life ignorant about how to become a millionaire. Learn how to invest in real estate, the stock market, precious metals, and learn from an expert. At Investor Schooling, we teach these things and more. We only provide education, and we will teach you how to leverage real estate, how to leverage the stock market, and how to leverage precious metals to make more money than you've ever made before. Go to InvestorSchooling.com and take a complimentary class this Thursday. We will see you there. InvestorSchooling.com. That's InvestorSchooling.com. All right, everybody. Welcome back to Investor Schooling Live. I am Larry Steinhaus. I'm in the PhD studios, which is kind of neat, WPHT studios, where I'm here with Dr. Deb. And Omri decided to call in because he didn't want to make the trip to Philadelphia, which, by the way, I can understand why Omri didn't want to make the trip to Philadelphia. You know why, Deb?
Because there's a lot of traffic here and it's hard to park.
No, because Trump was right when he said bad things happen in Philadelphia. Oh, wait, did I say that out loud?
What are you...
I'm amazed that you haven't been shot yet.
Oh, stop. Oh, stop.
Well, if I am, at least I know that if we're shot, at least we know that the person who shot us won't spend any time in jail, so we don't have to worry about that. So, because we know that Larry Krasner will make sure that he doesn't spend any time in jail.
My first thought was that
they won't stop
near
him.
A lot of really good hospitals
in the
area.
They won't stop the guy.
They'll arrest him, but they'll let him out 5 minutes later.
Oh, my goodness.
Because that's what they do in Philadelphia. That's why bad things happen in Philadelphia.
So anyway, Glenn had an awesome question during break.
I think Glenn got a caller. He kind of got busy.
Glenn, I saw you working
on these.
They're not there? They hung up already?
I told them to call back if they could hear me. There was nothing on the line.
Oh, okay.
So Glenn had an awesome question.
No, I was just saying, I think that what you guys are saying about the motivational thinking is excellent. But I think sometimes people have these sort of vague ideas. If I just believe hard enough, it'll happen.
You know, you got to mute Omri. He's making all kinds of weird noises.
Yeah, Omri, your kidnappee is acting up over there. So.
Yeah.
Muted.
Okay, you're muted. So how do you reconcile the sort of fuzzy affirmation sometimes with practical action and making those things, bringing them into reality? Because I think sometimes people don't have a clear enough plan and they just think, well, I just got to believe more. It's not working. I got to believe more.
So I think your question is something like, you know, like if somebody, let's say they wanted a special kind of house. Maybe it was a certain location and that house was, maybe it's a house by the shore. And that's what they want. So that's possible. It could be that somebody has something. And Glenn's saying, hey, you know, people don't get what they want because they don't try hard enough. But they really don't try hard enough in their brain.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it, too, is very, you have to be really specific.
Exactly.
So I have to have this house, this many square feet, this many bedrooms, this many bathrooms, this far away from the beach, this color. Like, you have to be really, really specific.
Right.
And that's what you have to throw out into the universe so that that comes back to you.
Right. You've heard of vision boards, right?
Yeah. So I'm 50-50 on vision boards because, okay. And I'll tell you why. So vision boards are great. And
Explain what a vision board is for those who don't know.
Is you get a bunch of like old magazines and you put all the things, you cut out pictures of the things that you want so that you see them every day. You know, I had one in my office for a while. I had one in my bedroom, like on my mirror. So, you know, I'd like to travel. I had my own business. I had a businesswoman. I had an airplane because I'd like to do stuff like that. And I think vision boards are great, but the problem with, so this, you're very specific in what you want. I had a picture of money there. I had a picture of a shore house. I had all kinds of things that, all the things that I wanted to manifest them to come to life, right? But the limitation with vision boards is that they're stagnant, right? Because as you move and you start to get these things, that vision board doesn't change. So you need to update your vision board or like keep redoing it. So that's why I have like, I'm 50-50 on vision boards. I do have a goal sheet, and it's like, I want this, and I'm really specific in what I want. And I have to be honest and say, this year, I have to redo my goals, because the goals that I set for last year kind of got all messed up, because, I don't know, I guess my goals changed over the year, and I didn't update my board, and I need to redo it, so I'm the first offender. But some of the other things that I want, like at this event that we're at, I saw one of the speakers, and he's like, you need to do this, this, and this. These are the three things you need to do when you leave here. And I put them down, and I'm going to be doing them when I get home, because I already know exactly what I need to do to get them, which is kind of why I go to these events, because it helps recharge me, re-energize me, and kind of keep me aligned. But like I said, I'm 50-50 on the vision boards, because, you know, they're stagnant. Like, you put them up there, and then they're done. I mean,
okay, stop.
All right.
My goodness, you just keep repeating yourself. No wonder Nami cuts you off all the time.
How nasty are you?
Jeez.
But, hold on, Nami. Hold on. But no, you're right, Deb. I just couldn't resist. I got you. So Glenn's giving me the phone thing. Wait, hold on one second. I just got to tell you how funny this is, right?
Okay.
So inside the studio, we have this amazing computer system that he could put the information right on the computer. When we're in our studio, right? When we're in our studio, he sends me messages on Facebook because that's the best way for us to communicate.
Yep.
So what does he do? I literally look at my phone rings, or, you know, like it dings, and I see that he sent me in Messenger that somebody is on the phone.
You know why? Because I'm not used to
being here.
I'm
so used to it.
I didn't boot it up.
And I thought it was the funniest thing that I got the message on my phone. Luckily, my phone was in front of me. Okay. But, you know, so let's go to Mike in South Carolina. What's going on, Mike?
Hi. Thanks. Great show. I like the fact that now the greeting is the Larry Steinhaus show. That's nice. And I guess I was just going to, I called in before about illegal aliens back when we were talking about that.
Oh, that was 2 weeks ago. Yeah, right. Sure.
Yeah. And I listened, last week too.
Yeah, okay. It was a repeat.
But anyhow, illegal aliens. I mean, no, I would never rent to them.
Okay.
Because they're just, that is a term, first of all, that is a legal term to call a person an illegal alien.
Absolutely. Unless, of course, you're a Democrat, then they're just, you know, undocumented.
Yes. And just because Biden lets them, he lets them in does not mean that they're okay to come in.
Right, correct.
So I would stick to the law. And not rent or.
So here's an interesting thing, interesting statement that you say that. So there's no law that says you can't rent to them. There might be laws that say you have to rent to them. So be a little careful about that too. You know, you never want to be in a situation where you say to somebody, "Hey, I'm not going to rent to you because you're an illegal alien."
Yeah.
You might have a nasty lawsuit against you. So make sure.
Now down here in South Carolina. South Carolina.
Yeah.
Everybody's packing.
now, if you remember, especially because you've heard this show twice, I don't have a problem with renting to illegal aliens because it's not my job to screen them.
Yes.
So it's, to me, it's just the opposite. It's like, it's not my job. If they're paying the rent and they show they can pay their rent, they're employed by somebody, their credit score is retrievable. So one of the things that happens with illegal aliens is their credit score may not be retrievable. But if they've been here long enough, they have a credit score, and it's okay with me. I don't really care. But it's not my...
Yeah, cash is king.
Right. It's not my place to decide. But it annoys me, because remember, the whole conversation was about the fact that some of these townships are now putting this responsibility in the landlord's hands. And I have a major problem with that. I think that that's wrong. You know, we had one... Remember the one in Easton, Pennsylvania, in Lehigh Valley, where they're talking about making it that the landlord has to evict the person if they're a drug dealer or if they're a violent offender. Now, remember, I don't want drug dealers, of course. I don't want violent offenders in my houses at all. However, now if I bring somebody in my house and there was no prior signs that they were a drug dealer, I had no idea, they got past my screening somehow, and then all of a sudden they get arrested for drug dealing, not convicted, arrested. I now have to evict them. If they have been convicted, I have no problem evicting them for that reason. But, if it was a one-off incident or something like that, my problem is now evicting them because the law says I have to, and then they come back at me and they say, hey, it turned out that it wasn't me. It was my twin brother from another state, and he happened to be, stupid reason is, and now I evicted this guy, and he might have a lawsuit against me. And that's what I have a problem with.
Well, here's one more thing that we didn't talk about, and that is, do they have children? And where are you going to put the children in school?
Oh, sure.
My sister's a grade school teacher.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, back to that. They don't even speak English.
Some do, some don't.
You have to take their children and put them in public school.
Absolutely.
And they don't even speak English.
Right.
The whole class is dragged down because my sister is trying to get through to kids who can't even speak English, and the rest of the class has to sit there. And it's really difficult. I've seen them come into the doctor's office.
Yeah.
The line backs up because they don't speak English, and they're at the front window, and everybody's waiting to get to the window.
What's the matter? You're not taking Spanish lessons?
That's not right.
You're not taking Spanish lessons because of the influx of... I know.
Well, then Biden's got to send us, the book or the Rosetta Stone or whatever
Babel.
He's got to send us Babel so we can speak to these guys.
So I have a little bit of an issue with this. Like I disagree, and only because of my background. My parents came here legally,
into the US legally.
Yeah.
But my brothers didn't speak English when they got here, and I remember they were telling me how they had a Spanish English dictionary and would go around to figure out what the words were. So I mean, they made an honest effort,
and then they
learned English, because if we drop you in a country that you don't know the language, within a month you're going to know the language.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you just learn it because you've had to figure it out.
Cell phones to translate. Now you got cell phones to translate. I was just sitting with somebody who's the assistant for somebody, knows no basic English, and yet we speak to Google Translator back and forth. And
my sister actually has to do it on her own.
The children don't have it.
Yeah, no, I totally see your point. But if somebody came here legally and they didn't speak the language, would you still feel the same way?
And they don't have children.
No, it doesn't matter. I get your point. Either way, they have children. And again, believe me, I'm not judging. I'm just asking a question.
I completely agree. I'm sorry I'm stopping you. I completely agree with him. You come here, you need to learn the language.
I know you completely agree. And by the way, I can speak the phone number a lot sexier.
Oh, go for it.
Anyway, we'll do that later.
Go ahead.
Oh, my God.
Let's go. Go for it.
I'm fired.
Go for it.
855-939-1137.
So Glenn said no, but Debbie's face lit up.
I'm 50-50.
I think we have to have an on-air contest.
Yeah, I'm 50-50 on that. I mean, it was good. I'm not going to say that it wasn't good, But it's also not as deep as Omri's voice, and maybe I prefer the deeper voice. I don't know.
Maybe another caller can do
I'll
a better
have to
one.
Practice.
Yeah, maybe another caller can do that. All right,
then I'll call back in. And
so
I'll,
since
we'll
I can't see
again.
The screen, I forgot the guy's name already. Oh, it's Mike. That's right.
Mike.
So get Mike's information so we can send him a copy of the book. And why don't we do that for the next? So we got like 10 minutes left of the show. It's amazing. We have 10 minutes left of the show. And what we'll do is anybody who calls up and gives us the phone number sexier than Mike did, not sexier than Omri, because nobody can do it sexier than Omri.
Omri's good with that.
Than Mike did it.
Yeah. Okay.
We're going to give them a free book. How's that? Does that make sense, Glenn? All right,
need to give them the number, too.
Well, we could give them the number, but just a heads up, the deeper the voice, the more likely you are to win.
Right.
I'm just throwing it out there.
So 855-939-1137 is the phone number. And if you call up and say the phone number, and it's sexier than Mike did it, you get a copy of the book.
There you go.
We're just having fun at this point. We have 10 minutes. This is why I said to Odyssey, we need to do a two-hour show. And what did they do? They said, no. You can't do a two-hour show because, we want to have that time to sell to somebody else who has a financial show after you. And what did we say? They told us that we can't have the 10 o'clock spot. I'm going to go on this rant again.
I know. I'm wondering if I should stop you now because we only have 10 minutes left. Maybe we can go on to something else.
And we are a live show.
And we are a live show.
And we're a live show. And
oh my God.
We are the best show on this station, absolutely on Saturday. We're in competition for the weekday shows, which I said to them, they should give us a weekday show and let us do a politics show and let us do a politics and money show, and it'd be hysterical, especially with the immigrant. But no, as a matter of fact, I'll tell you what, I'll give everybody 12 free books.
You need
if they call the station Greg Stocker and tell Greg Stocker that we would be better in the morning than some other people.
Yeah, I was just going to say you have to have the listeners call up and say you need to put these guys on earlier.
Yeah. Because we would be much better.
Yeah.
But then again, the reason they have us on at 2 o'clock is because when we're begging and pleading for people to call Greg Stocker, the 7 people who are actually available to listen to the show at 2 o'clock because everybody else is doing stuff, there's just not enough people to call.
I know, but then if we do the morning show, then I actually have to wake up early.
I don't mind. That'd be better.
I know, but I'm not a morning person.
And then the day would be over, and then we could, you know, it'd be fun, you know.
I know.
We'd have fun.
All right.
It could be 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock.
I usually,
I don't care either.
I usually joke around and say I don't get paid unless I don't get out of bed before 10 unless I get paid. That was a big joke in my house. Unless I'm getting paid, I don't get out of bed.
So you know what you just made me think about something really funny.
What's that?
So somebody one time at a seminar, you know, like the seminar we're doing now. One time at a seminar, somebody actually said to me, they asked me a question, like they asked the speaker a question, right?
Yeah.
They asked me a question, go, what's your morning routine?
Yeah.
Right? And my answer was, right? I lie in bed until the urge to pee is so bad that I have to get out. So that's my morning routine.
That's crazy. No, the joke at my house is if I'm not at it. But the other thing, too, is I also don't go to bed until 2 or 3 in the morning. But I'm getting better at that. I try to go to bed now by 1 or 2. So, and then I get up a little bit earlier now. Whatever, an hour or two.
You know, my wife is really into health, you know, and it's funny because, you know, like I'm 50 pounds overweight and she's really into health. And we have this electronic scale that does your metabolic rate.
Okay.
Your metabolic age, right?
Metabolic age.
So she tells me her metabolic age is 43, right? So I get on the scale.
Hers is 43?
43.
Oh, wow. That's great.
That's pretty good, right?
Yeah,
pretty good. You know, for soon to be a great grandmother.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
So I'll be sleeping with a great grandmother soon.
So,
and her metabolic age is 43, right?
Okay.
So I get on the scale, and when I get on the scale, it has the letters D E A D. Yeah, it turned out the batteries needed to be replaced.
When I step on the scale, Larry, it says one person at a time, please.
Yeah, right.
That would be great.
Right.
Oh, that would be funny. That's hysterical.
Yeah, here we go. Here we go into weight jokes. You know,
well, you started it.
When I turn the corner, my stomach enters the room first. You know.
All right, that one wasn't that good.
I don't know. I got Glenn laughing at it. It must have been funny.
Well, Glenn needs to laugh at your jokes because it keeps him employed.
No, Glenn gets his $7 an hour no matter what.
Who are you, the other guy now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't pay him. I know the Odyssey being the cheapest company on the planet. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if $7 an hour would be a raise.
Mm.
Well, wait, what's minimum wage? $7.85 or something?
Would you stop?
I think minimum wage here in PA is $7.50 still.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, which is amazing to me. Like, yeah. I'm against minimum wage. By the way, I think there should be no minimum wage. But you know, other people would say, well, then people would pay $5 an hour. You know, if you want to work for $5 an hour, you should be allowed to work for $5 an hour. But at the same time, who's going to work for $5 an hour? That's the point. You just say, no, I'm not working for $5 an hour. My minimum wage is $73 an hour. Right, Glenn? That's why you work for $73 an hour, right?
I don't know. You know, this is an issue I've had at home. Like, this is a discussion I've had at home, actually, because, you know, for the people who are getting paid 15 or 16 bucks an hour, and if they don't go to school and they don't have a high school education and they don't have a college degree, why should they be getting paid that much an hour?
Well, it's not why should they be paid. So no, it has nothing to do with school. It has nothing to do with education. I don't have a problem with that.
I know, but I'm saying that, like, if you say you go for a trade, you know, and you're getting paid 20 bucks an hour, why should somebody who has absolutely no anything get paid 15 or 16 bucks an hour?
So I'm going to differ with you slightly different.
Yeah.
We're on the same page, but I think the one taking the $20 an hour with the trade should be saying, no, I want 30. That's my thought.
I understand what you're saying, but if that's not what's being offered.
He doesn't work that way.
Is he still on the phone?
Yeah, I didn't realize.
Yes, I am. Of course I am. You are ruining the reputation of this show. Stop.
How are we doing that, Omri?
Because you can't blame people. We just had Mike on the phone talking about people that don't know English. Yeah. Okay. And maybe they are legal, and maybe they got a job to wash the dishes in the kitchen in the Starbucks. And if there is no law that protects them, somebody will offer them $1 an hour and will tell them that this is the normal rate. So this is something that should protect the people that can't protect themselves. So I'm completely okay with the minimum rate. I agree that there are no places that I'm aware that actually pay so little right now.
I could tell you a place.
What are you talking about?
That pays 7.5.
Yeah, I could tell you a place that pays minimum wage.
Yeah? You don't have to.
Should I say that? I don't want to say that.
No, it really doesn't matter. It's legal. It's just, but the people who are taking the minimum wage are the problem, not the minimum wage. It's the same thing with the...
Are you talking...
I'm not going to get into it.
No, I'm just saying. Are you talking about waitresses, maybe?
No, waitresses get paid a different way.
Yeah, they get paid a different way.
They're allowed to have a lower minimum wage.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's a chain. Okay. We'll talk about it offline. Yeah, I went to it on there.
No, that's fine. But the idea is those people who are taking the job of the problem, they should say, no, I'm not coming to work until you give me $9 an hour, $10 an hour, $11 an hour.
I don't know. It sounds like they...
And if they could find people at $7.50 an hour, then, you know, those people, that's fine. To me, then that's good business for them, and it's bad business for the person taking the $7.50 an hour. That person, that's the lowest common denominator. It's, you know, the low-hanging fruit is the way it is, right? If somebody's going to take $7.50 an hour, then that's their problem. They need to stop taking $7.50 an hour.
Okay. I see your point.
It is their problem. Guys, it is their problem, but it's also affecting us. It's also affecting us. It also makes us get paid lower because he agreed to get the $7 an hour and we don't. As long as someone will agree to take the $7 an hour, it will hurt us and it will hurt our rent rates and it will hurt
No. That's not true. Because there's so many people out there to take more than $7 an hour. All right, listen. Omri, I'm so excited that you called in. Thank you so much. But I'm going to kick you off in just a couple of seconds because I know what's going to happen when into the exit of the show. You're going to interrupt me 17 times. I am so sorry that no one called.
Can I just fade him slowly while he's talking?
Yeah, do that. That'd be funny.
Omri, start talking. I'm going to slow.
Wait.
Go ahead, Omri.
What do you want him to do? Get a phone number?
I want him to talk so I can just slowly fade him down.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
I'm done, guys. I'm done.
All right. We'll see you at home.
Bye, Omri. All right, everybody. We thank you so much. And thank you, Glenn, for letting us be in this studio. This is kind of exciting, wasn't it, Deb, being in the studio?
It's
different,
fun.
Right?
It's always fun to come in,
But I tell you what, it's not worth the trip into Philadelphia to come here every week.
Not every week,
so we'll definitely be back in our studio.
Yep.
Which, by the way, when I look around, my studio is cooler than this studio, but this looks more professional. But mine just looks cooler.
But it's always nice to see Glenn.
Yeah, it's always nice to see Glenn.
Anyway,
we got 15 seconds.
Okay.
So everybody out there, if you want to go to investorschooling.com, you can meet us in person, and we'll also teach you some things about real estate and stock options. Well, we didn't talk anything about today, which was interesting, but we talk about real estate stock options, and we will help you make more money with your money. All right, everybody, we'll see you Thursday, investorschooling.com.
This program is paid for by Investor Schooling. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Investor Schooling or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Audacy.